Recording. So it's so great to have you with me, Buck. I'm really happy to be speaking with you. I've actually, I don't know if you know this, but I've actually seen a bunch of your interviews throughout several years. So you've come on my radar a little while ago. So I've become aware of you. And I've always thought that you made a lot of sense, a lot of common sense, and I think it's so important. And I think
I'm calling my mom right now to tell her.
Yeah, let her know. Do people usually not say that?
Well, you know where my real background comes from. People just think you're kind of stupid. So yeah, not that. I'm just kidding. My parents are awesome. I have cool parents.
That seems like a very important thing. So
yes.
Yeah. I should call my parents and let them know.
No, I'm very lucky. My parents really, as much as I was abusive as a youngster going through a lot of stuff, today I have the most amazing relationship with my parents. They're super awesome.
That is really great to hear.
Yeah.
So I think one reason that I wanted to talk to you, you know, aside from the fact that I think you're immensely reasonable and a great speaker, is that I think, you know, there's a tendency to sort of hear about, you know, this particular subject that we're going to discuss from very kind of extreme voices. Mm-hmm. And I think it leaves people feeling frustrated, confused, angry, kind of misunderstanding of the subject matter. And I think it drives people further to their sort of extremes. And so I wanted to have a chance to give people sort of an understanding and discuss some of these issues from a different point of view, from a point of view that's a little bit less, you know, I think, extreme, shall we say.
Yeah.
So I think a good starting point would be maybe to, well, one thing is, I would love to just know a little bit of your background, because you sort of came of age at a different time period. And you also call yourself a transsexual as opposed to trans. So I think that's a pretty specific distinction.
Yes.
And so I'd love to know a little bit more about that, and also just a brief guide through your journey.
Thank you. You're awesome. First off, thanks so much for reaching out to me. It does mean a lot that you saw me and you see what I'm doing. And it's not easy, but you know, with people like you and people seeing me, I feel that the work that I'm doing is so important on some level. And it's, you know, I take breaks. I take big breaks. but that being said, you know, I'm 60 years old and I transitioned 30 years ago. So, you know, pretty much half my life I lived in the female space, and now half my life I lived in more of a male space. And I don't deny my biology. I'm not one of those people. I very much understand that I'm a biological female. It's the reason I transitioned. So anyone who's denying their biology who says they're trans, and they're not really trans, because you can't be trans without biology attached to it. So, you know, I'm that guy. I started my career actually in the pornography business, which makes people a little bit upset. But that being said, you know, I used my pornography in a means and a way as activism back in the day, and more that I wanted to show diversity in bodies and all of that kind of stuff. But today I sort of moved out of that space and became more, and I don't like to use the word activist, because I'm not an activist. I'm a guy who on some level feels that I need to speak up, because what I see today is not a representation of myself or many of the other people in my community. And why I use the word transsexual is because back in the day we called sex change what we know we can't change our sex, but we called that because the whole point was to look like a man, right? Or a woman. So for me, the whole point was to look how I look today, and to really achieve that for me is huge. And for me, for people to see me as a man is huge for me. It got rid of my dysphoria. It makes me be able to be, you know, a functioning human in the world and, you know, on some level coexist with you. I don't want to take anybody's space. I want to be a part of the world, if that makes, you know what I mean? I want to be hanging out with you and doing all kinds of cool stuff.
I want to be hanging out with you too.
I don't want to be that tranny over there. You know what I mean? Like the diverse, this idea of diversity, inclusion coming from the trans community is a complete lie. And what's ever happening over there, I will just say to you, is not a reflection of myself or many of us who don't have the opportunity to speak out. So with that, I have the opportunity to speak out because I can't lose anything. I'm not in that space to lose anything, if that makes sense. I can still pay my rent. I can still eat. I can still do all the things I need to do because I don't rely on that particular community for my own self, if that makes sense.
Right. And you transitioned when you were 30, at a very different time. But when did you sort of come to the realization, or when did you sort of have that inkling that you were, I suppose, you know, felt like you were, would it be accurate to say like felt like you were in the wrong body?
You know, here's what I want to say before we move on. Don't ever feel like you can't say anything to me. I'm not that, I'm not that weirdo. So I'm not going to get all weird if you misgender me or whatever. You probably won't, but you know what I mean? Or if you say like when you are a female or any of that stuff, please don't get, because it's going to make our interview much easier. So I don't want you to feel like I'm going to get upset.
I appreciate
if you call
that.
Me a woman or, you know, any of it. Cause I lived as a woman. So, I will tell you that even my parents will tell you that I think they told me the other day, like, we remember when you were four and you were like, I want to be like dad. I want to, you know what I mean? And like wearing dad's, you know, wanting to wear dad's underwear and stuff like that. So, you know, I can say for pretty much my whole life, I have always felt like I wanted to be this, what you see here. This is what I wanted to be. I wanted to be that man, though I know I'm not a man. That's the really important part of this message to everybody out there. I'm not trying to say I'm a man and as a biological man. I'm trying to say I present as a man to the world.
Yeah, and I think this is something where there's this sense of like, okay, a trans woman is a woman or a trans man is a man.
Right.
But it's almost like there's this discomfort of being a trans person, which
that's right.
I think, like, right. Why not just accept? Because I think, you know, you can be born a certain way and that's the reality of what you were born, but it's okay to be then.
That's right. That's what I say all the time. I'm like, so you're acting as if it's not okay to be trans, because that when you say I'm a trans woman as a woman, you are discounting what kind of woman that is. And it's important that we understand what kind of woman you are. It doesn't make you any less of a being or any less. I'm very proud of, I'm proud of being a transsexual man. I am. Even though I don't walk around saying it, you know what I mean? Like I present as a man. I walk through the door as a man. I do. But the reason I think that's happening is because today, as you see, there's a difference in the way I come to it is I want to present. I make a huge effort to be as masculine and be that dude as possible. Today we have these trans people, like let's say, for example, trans women with beards and mustaches and saying they're women. And I'm not okay with that. I'm not, as a transsexual man, I'm not okay with that. I fought for years to get to, for you to accept me. You know, 10, 15 years ago, we probably would never be having this conversation, but today we do. And that's because of the elders before me and fighting to get into a space of all we want to do is coexist with you. So the newer trans space doesn't want to coexist with you. They want to take your space. Big difference.
Yeah, and I find it so strange because I think there's so many things kind of going on there that are not necessarily part of trans. And look, I don't even know what it is 100% either.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
My suspicion is, you know, for years it was, you know, called, I guess, a mental illness. And I don't necessarily think that's what it is. You know, it could be a biological thing. It could be something.
Well, I will tell you that.
Mental.
Yeah. Honestly, I do have a mental disorder. I have no issues with that at all. And in fact, it's very important. So I want to say, I'm sorry to cut you off. That was rude.
No, it's okay.
But I just want to tell you that for me and again, for many of my friends, we accept our diagnosis. The diagnosis is the whole reason I'm here. If I didn't get a diagnosis, I wouldn't have known that I have gender dysphoria and that I can actually do this to myself. It's like with anything. If you get a diagnosis of cancer, you're like, oh, that's why I was feeling so crappy all this time. I got a diagnosis. So, you know, a diagnosis is not a bad thing. It's an actual good thing. And mental illness or mental disorders are not a bad thing at all. This there is this huge pushback on mental illness, which I think is so ridiculous. It's actually something lots of human beings have. It's not a bad thing. And so when you sort of accept your diagnosis, which I have done, it enables me to fix the situation through hormonal, through surgery, you know, through presenting. So I know that I understand why you're saying that, because there's this pushback from the community that says, we don't have a mental illness. Well, yeah, we kind of do. And it's kind of okay.
Well, I guess why I'm saying this is because I'm not sure that we have 100% an understanding of where that is. Like, it could be a mental disorder. Yeah. It could be something else that we just have yet to fully understand too. Sure. But I also think there is like a lot of factors going on as to why people are identifying as such. So yeah. It seems like gender dysmorphia and sort of the tradition, dysmorphia? I said it wrong, didn't I?
Dysphoria. That's okay.
Dysphoria. Yeah. I, for some reason, say it. But
I do
dysphoria.
Too.
Okay, good. But gender dysphoria, I think in the traditional sense, like it, and from speaking to Colin as well and reading a bit about it, it mm-hmm. does seem to pronounce itself generally quite early on. So like you said, you were 4 years old, you sort of felt that. But when it comes to, but there's also an assortment of other conditions, you know, there's social elements, there is autism, there's other things that are kind of onset later on in people's lives. I'm not an expert in this, but there's a kind of a slew of things that kind of get conflated, it seems. And they are all kind of put in this one category. And that's why you get these, say, men who are now identifying as women, but have beards. So, you know, and I think that's a very different category.
That's right.
But it all kind of gets pushed together.
Which is a problem. You cannot lump me in the same space as that person, because to me, that person doesn't have dysphoria, because if they had dysphoria, they would not be walking around with a beard and mustache and a dress on. They wouldn't. That actually brings dysphoria on. Or if I was a trans man pregnant, I would never get pregnant, nor would I celebrate my pregnancy and talk about me being a man who's pregnant. That's the most dysphoric, or a man on my period, or a man with a uterus, or, you know what I mean? All of those things go against what gender dysphoria is. And so if you understand that, then you understand a newer generation of trans. The trans generation today is identifying as trans. I don't identify as trans. It's my gender dysphoria is my transness. But these people are just identifying as trans because they can. It's called self-ID. It means anybody can be trans now. You don't even have to go to a doctor and get a diagnosis. That opened a huge can of worms right there. That to me is the beginning of the end.
And it seems like in terms of who speaks for the quote unquote community, which I always found that term really, you know, kind of ridiculous, whether it's the gay community or even the community. I mean, it's just to me, it's just because you're born a certain way, you suddenly belong to a community. Right. But it seems like it's like suddenly it's the loudest voices, it's the voices that can get access to being a media spokesperson, you know, who have friends in the media. Yeah. What do you make of that? Because it's like it's only some people get to represent a huge group of people who might have very diverse points of views on these things.
Well, you just said it. So those people don't represent me. And it's why I do stand up. You know, I'm one of the oldest trans people out there and probably one of the more prominent trans men. I mean, trans men don't even really get to have a voice. If you notice, most of this is coming from trans women. Okay. Yes. If you notice, most of the pushback, most of the nasty, angry, gross things being said out there, especially to women, are trans women. And what are trans women? Biological males. Like, let's be real here. You know, Nick, I don't care if anyone calls me transphobic. That's the reality. I'm a biological female and they're biological males. I've been socially conditioned in a different way. Remember, 30 years of my life conditioned more female, if that makes sense, where they've been conditioned more male, and you can see it. You can actually, so they took over. They just literally came in and took the voice of everyone, and they represent. And, you know, I do think one of the things is, you're right, they're connected to other people in the media. the media tends to go for certain types of people and push a certain narrative. And that's what's happening. And that's why I have to step up and say, hey, wait a minute, that's not the whole story. You know, I have a lot to say here of somebody with lived, right? Remember, they also use all these terms, yeah, lived experience. Well, hold on then, my friends, because I got 30 years lived experience, but mine doesn't count. So I can poke holes in all of what they do. It's nasty what they do.
And it's scary. Like, it's interesting because, like I mentioned to you earlier, one of the things that I found to be one of the scariest things to speak about is this particular issue. Mm. And like I said, I don't have particularly strong or controversial views. At least I don't think I do. No. But this like label of being transphobic gets applied so quickly and so easily. Nobody wants that, right? Like, that's like the worst thing. And I'm like, I don't hate people who are trans. I don't dislike them. No. I don't fear them. I want the best for people. That's but right. There's this kind of sense of like, you say anything, but that shuts down narrative. And I think that shuts down conversation.
That's
and so
right.
The narratives are what thrives. That's and what right. happens is, so for example, where I think where it does a lot of damage, because I think once you start dealing with adults, you know, I have a very kind of liberal view of like, mm-hmm. you know, you're an adult, you do what you want.
That's right.
But when you're dealing with kids, well, there's kids, there's also things that affect other people. So those are the two categories yeah, where it's like, right. well, it's quite essential to have conversations, right? So it's like yeah. Women's spaces, which I think, you know, there's nuance. Like, it's not like, yeah. you know, and I've heard you talk about bathrooms, for example, and some okay. people are like, no, you can't go into women's spaces, right? Like at all bathrooms. Okay.
Yeah.
But I do find that also to be a bit of an extreme position because That's you look right. at someone, say like Blair White, who looks
That's right.
completely female and you yeah. who looks completely male. It would be ridiculous for either of you to be using, you know, your the sex you were born as those bathrooms, right?
Right.
So it's like, and the threat, you know, I don't know, you know, I don't think that trans people, realistically, legitimately trans people who've transitioned are the ones who pose no. threats to women.
Far from it. They don't want to. All my trans women friends look like women. They're that's why those are the more transsexual ones who want to pass. We make an effort to pass. We make, you know, most of the time it's harder for a male to female. You know, they have to do much more cosmetic stuff most of the time. That, you know, all I did is cut my boobs off, put them some testosterone and grow a beard. And go to the gym, right? So yeah, at the same time, I make an effort to do this. What I see a newer generation, you know, they always call me I have passing privilege. I'm like, wait a minute here. This isn't a privilege. I work hard, you know, every day. I go to the gym, I do things, I make myself look this way. It's not a privilege to look this way, but I see this new generation that they don't want to pass. So if you don't want to pass, then you don't get to use the woman's room. Sorry, it's that simple. Because if you pass, nobody would say a word about it. They wouldn't.
No.
Never.
Why would you say a word if you don't know?
That's right. That's
There's
right,
even
friend.
Women, biological women who look kind of masculine. Like
That's
you just
right.
wouldn't know. You would never want to like question that or offend someone. Or
like, never say that ever. You would be never. Like, dude, you're in the wrong. You know, but I'll say back in the day before I transitioned, I was a very masculine woman, right? So I did sort of mm-hmm. have that androgynous look to me. And sometimes women would be like, sir, you're in the wrong toilet. And I'd be actually, I'm a girl.
Right, okay.
But, you know, but I didn't start crying and like freak out and like, well, I got misgendered. Like, I didn't do that.
Dan, somebody, I mean, look, I was spontaneously, when I was a little kid, I cut my hair off and I had like a little, I looked like a little boy.
Yeah.
And people did misgender me and I did feel sensitive about it. So I kind of get it. Like, I was a sensitive kid. So I kind of get it. But like,
I don't.
It's not the end. You don't
I
get
don't
it?
get it. You know why I don't get it? Because it
Right.
happens. And what's happening is this: we are feeding into that insecurity as a community. We're saying, oh gosh, everyone's misgen. We are feeding into that. I had to work through it. Thank gosh I had to work through it, because I had to work through it, which made me a tougher person. And that's why I can walk the world this way. And nothing hurts me if you misgen. If you call me a lady, you think I care? So what's happening is we're giving a younger generation this idea that they can get so mad at somebody, even though they look like a girl. Right. But their pronouns are he, they. They think for some reason he, they is going to make everyone see them as a dude. And I'm like, but you don't look like a dude. You have to understand people walk the world seeing things. I see a dog. I see a cat. You know what I mean? I see things that I can actually say what they are.
Well,
So,
I mean, like you can be, I get the sensitivity. I don't get the anger. Like I
that's
get that
right.
we need to be
Different,
resilient, right? Like for
different.
example, I felt like I need to work at being okay with it. Or
Yes.
like, you know, as a kid, I was bullied, right?
Yes,
But it
yes.
doesn't mean that I'm like, oh, I'm a perpetual victim now. It's more like, okay, you know what?
That's right.
That gives me empathy.
That's
Like
right.
maybe if I see someone alone in a room, like I'll treat them
Yeah.
differently. So I think it gives me a certain strength actually
That's
because I've
right.
gone through that experience, right?
That's right. And also you need to understand that even like this, people still come at me. People still call me a woman. You know, people still say you're
Oh.
never going to be a man. They do it. They will do it. It's why I'm trying to teach these young people. They will do it forever. It
They
doesn't
will.
matter. I don't care what, look at me. There's no way if I walk down the street, anyone ever knows I used to be a woman ever. But they still say nonsense like that because people just, that's how humanity is and how people are. And sometimes people say mean things out of whatever reason. And so I think we're teaching a younger generation really to live in this fearful victim-y space, and they're not going to be a per they're not going to move forward, and they're not going to be, you know, they're not going to be successful in life. That's all I'm trying to say when I say things like
Yeah.
that to the younger generation. I'm like, I get it. It hurts your feelings, but those are feelings. And remember that. What was the intention of the person doing it? That is also very important, intention.
Well, they're trying to hurt you when they're oh well oh
Not
yes you
always.
no, no
Not always.
I
Yeah.
understand. No, you're
If you work
correct.
at Starbucks and you look like a girl, but your pronouns are he, they, and then someone accidentally says, thank you, ma'am, and then you
No,
lose your
it's
shit.
no, you're correct. Your intention, most of the time, people's intention is not to hurt you.
That's
Now,
right.
if the people on the internet intentionally doing this to
That's
you,
right.
their intention is to hurt you.
That's right.
But when you are acting out and lashing out, you're giving their words power.
That's
So
right. Oh, you got
there
it, my friend.
you But I think what has happened is that it has, because you've got these two extremes now, right? Like, so you've got people, on the one hand, you've got people who sort of demand that you respect their beards and their womanhood and their non-existing periods, which I do find that like,
Oh God, don't
just
get me started
absolutely,
on the period
yeah.
thing.
I mean, that was a level like, listen, I'm open-minded to a very
Come
large
on.
extent, but this is a level of like that goes way beyond
No.
my level of open-mindedness
Tolerance.
and tolerance. Yeah, that's like, dude, like that's just as somebody who suffered,
Yeah,
like
me too.
right, you too, exactly. Like quite a bit. Like you could have your pain, like, but that's
That's
let's call
right.
it something else. Let's
That's
call it something
right. Right
else. Yeah.
on. Right
And this is
on.
the thing, and that's what we were talking about. Like being trans, like that's a different experience. It's a unique experience.
That's
Like
right.
don't diminish that either. Like I didn't have that experience, and you didn't have the exact same experience as me. That's okay. And
It's
but go ahead.
reality. It's called reality. These people aren't living in reality. I, as a man now, I actually did get my period. Okay. You are a biological dude. You're never gonna get, you're not even getting period cramps. Okay. I had it out with this trans woman. I'm like, oh, but I have symptoms, Buck. I go, really? How do you know those are symptoms? How do you know when you've never had your period? So you don't know that those are symptoms. Like, it makes me so mad because there they go. They're just continually, you know, taking and taking from the women's space. And you know, I fought for women's rights. When I was a hardcore hardcore dyke, like Queer Nation and all that. Like, I have fought for women's rights. Women have always been in this space, and they still are. And you think it's okay for trans women, a small minority, very, very small, to come in and just sort of go in sports and like, nope, sorry, we're taking this over right now. And just all the things they're doing is, you know, now we're going to rename like people with periods and, you know, people get pregnant. No, we're not. We're not going to do that, because what we're doing is we're literally taking away from a huge, like pretty much half the world. We're taking away from them. And why is that okay to do? That's what I don't understand. Why is that okay?
Well, and I suggested, and I ended up, you know, every time I have a Google alerts to my name because I freak out. And I've commented on, I think it was like birthing people or something like that. And I said, why don't you just call, you know, pregnant women, and if you want to be inclusive, go ahead, be inclusive. But like, why don't you just say birthing, pregnant women and trans women,
there you know, go.
Something. Just include people, right? That's instead right. of, is it so hard just to use extra words to be inclusive?
Like, no, but that's why I know it's bullshit. Sorry, but that's why I know, because the inclusive, diverse community is not diverse and inclusive. Because if that was the case, they would not be trying to wipe out the word woman, and they would not be trying to take it over, right? So trans women are not women. I'm going to say it here right now. Trans women are not women. They are trans women. And like, we got to stop playing into this, because it's very dangerous when we start to play into these games. They're going into prison systems now because they're women, and very bad things are happening in these prison spaces because they're not women. They're biological men who want to look and act like women. Big difference.
Well, and from my understanding, most of this isn't even happening with, like, say, like I'm going to call it legitimate trans women, right?
Yeah,
like,
that's right.
It's like that's right. It's people who are claiming that for their benefits, right, because it's convenient, and they are often, you know, predators. So it's not even like benefiting actual trans women. Nope. It's so. And this is the thing, because I understand, like, a trans woman who's been, you know, who's transitioned a while ago, has gone through the process and is now has committed a crime, is now going through the prison system and is being put in a male population. Mm-hmm. That's a hard thing. Like, I understand the concern there. Like, and sure. I think we should address that. I think it's a legitimate thing. So I'm not a poet. Like, I'm not a, you know,
well, famous. I'm not either. I mean, but the thing is that you can't just plop when a woman, when a man all of a sudden never said they were trans before, and last year they decided they were a woman because self-ID, they don't even have to go through a system. That's the part that's later. Now, that being said, yes, but I've always said we need to propose a different space, right? Yeah. So when, you know, they did it for gay men who said they were homosexual in prison, they put them in a space away from Gen Pop because they couldn't be in Gen Pop because they would be totally beat up or killed or raped or all. So they did the same with gay men. They still do that. But why don't they just do that with trans people in prison, right? They should do the same thing. Trans men are in prison, but no one talks about that. And they're mistreated constantly. Do you see a trans man saying, I want to go to men's prison? Do you ever see that?
Yeah, I find that interesting, because you're correct in that I've not seen trans men do any of these things. And I've actually looked into, I've been on some Reddit groups. I mean, I'm endlessly curious. So, awesome. And I've looked at the discussions, and there tends to be just a generally more of a tendency to want to fit in, take on more traditional masculine roles, and not this kind of like demanding taking over spaces. So I don't 100% understand what that's all about. And maybe that is all about because there is a different mental condition involved here. Because like I said, the people being sort of diagnosed with being trans or gender, I'm going to say it wrong again.
Gender dysphoria. Dysphoria,
thank you. Dysphoria. I don't think it's gender dysphoria that's happening here. I think, like I said, it's like multiple conditions, and this is one of these conditions that is not gender dysphoria. So these may not be, you know, what I would call trans people. I'm going to get so
No, you're not. No, you're not. You're actually talking to an old school trans person who is agreeing with you. And I agree. Yeah. That's why I'm very mad about it, because that being said, they need to go through a diagnostic space. You need to be diagnosed. You can't just say you're a transsexual person so that you can clearly get put into the women's prison so that now you're having sex. They're having sex. Most of these trans women, in fact, I think all of them have penises. So they're going into a women's space. Of course there's going to be sex in there. And then the women in prison are getting pregnant, and there's all kinds of stuff that we're not, you know. And how do I know this? Because I work with a group of a prison group for women. I'm working with them because the trans men are being completely destroyed in this whole thing. None of them are getting what they need. They're actually being given top surgery. Trans men are being given top surgery in prison, and all the top surgeries are being botched. So they're getting really messy top surgeries. They're getting really sick. One person got their artery cut or something during a top surgery. I'm like, what? I've never even heard of that before. So we're not even discussing what's happening with trans men in prison, but we're just like what I said earlier, everything is about trans women. And that should have everybody a little bit more like, wait a minute, if it's a trans conversation, why are we not talking about trans men in this conversation?
It's true. Yeah, I almost never. In fact, I would say never hear about trans men. Really, truly, never do. And then, the whole thing to me is like the affirmative care side of it, right? Because that's really, to me, the problem with it is like, because I want people to be able to, you know, I even wrote a Substack about this because I was watching going through a marathon of medical drama and they had an interesting episode where the guy comes in and he wants to cut his arm off, which, you know, sounds crazy, right?
Yeah.
And stop him and, you know, but finally he, you know, like they've tried everything, psychiatric care, everything, right? And in the end, he just manages to cut it off. And he's, you know, he feels calm. And so I thought about it, as bizarre as that sounds, like it did automatically. I don't know if they meant to do this with the episode, but I couldn't help but make that comparison. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if the readers of my article made the comparison. A lot of them didn't, but I did when I was writing it. But there's something about that. Like, if that's the only thing that's bothering a person, who are we really to say that, like, maybe if that does solve it, like, but what if it's every limb? Like, it is such a difficult question.
Well, it's why you need to go through therapy. It's, you know, I had to go back in the day, they had a system that I had to go through a system, right? It's why I'm solid. I really do believe, I've never looked back. Mm-hmm. I've never thought about detransit, none of it. It literally changed my life because I had to do 2 years of extensive therapy for my brain to sort of understand what I was about to do, and that what I was about to do was irreversible. And so all those steps created this person you see today. And thank God that I went through what I call a safety, right? They call it gatekeeping. I call it safekeeping. Mm-hmm. And we've lost safekeeping. We don't do it anymore. We're just like, okay, you think you're trans? We're going to take your word for it at 15 at Planned Parenthood. And we're going to write you a script right now. After 15, really, I'm not even kidding, 15 minute intake. Yeah, you know it. And then bam, and then they send you home with your script of testosterone. And then they tell you to go to YouTube and learn how to inject the testosterone. I'm like, what? That is so, you could hurt yourself. You know, you could get into something with the needle. It could break. It could have air bubbles in it. It could, so many things that are dangerous. And we're telling a kid to go on YouTube and learn how to inject this. This is how sloppy. And so I do understand affirmative healthcare, which I think is a really bad way to call it. But that being said, but you have to go through things before you can make that choice to, you know, all of a sudden take a body part off, you know? And that's why I don't think a 15-year-old can actually make that choice unless they've been through extensive, you know, psychotherapy.
Well, I think we have the evidence that they can't because, you know, we have the transitioners.
That's right. That's right.
But I think, like, I'm not even 100%. Like, I know some people are like, kids can never, ever, ever make that choice. I'm not even in that camp.
No.
But I think in this con- in this environment, because we have this political climate of where people can't really talk about it, because we have this like affirmative care, as opposed to maybe some European countries, which interestingly enough are more progressive than you know, it's interesting, but they're much more willing to be like, oh, we made a mistake.
That's Europe. Well, there you go. We're all about money here. Come on. We know what's happening here. It's so obvious. There's so much money being made in affirmative, you know, care. And I've seen it on stock market. I think it's called Market Watch. I literally saw them say invest in trans surgery. It's going to be a $5 billion business. They're literally telling people to invest in it. So I'm like, come on, man. This is so gross. And look, I do think a 15-year-old, if they're going through some serious, you know, mental health care and they're really making, I do think they can. I've met a couple and they seem solid, but they went through a system. I do not think a 10-year-old can make the choice of being on puberty blockers that will sterilize them. And we all know it. And anyone who's out there who's telling you that's not true, they're wrong. I can send you tons of evidence. Lupron sterilizes you. Not only that, it also takes away your orgasmic space. So you're going to do that to a kid without, that's not consensual on any way, shape or form.
Yeah.
It's gross.
And I think because it's like, and maybe there are some extreme fringe cases, but again, because you don't have a system where you have that like 2-year process where have the therapy, where you can understand, where you've evaluated every course. And that's the problem that I see here. Because I think if we were talking about a couple of years ago, and I see the same thing with like Canada approved, you know, euthanasia, which I was for, right?
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I am for it. But we've got the same kind of problem creeping in. And that worries me, because I'm like, well, are people being evaluated properly? Are they being told, hey, let that be the solution to all your problems? Because now you can get it for depression, for example, which I'm not even like, hey, maybe there are some cases of depression, right? Like maybe the person has tried every single thing.
Well, there you go. Of course.
But they aren't administering it only to that, right? So that's the problem that I'm seeing. And it's like, I never anticipated that that's where it would go.
No.
And so that's the issue here, as opposed to, because I'm always like, I'm very pro, you know, freedom of choice. Like
me too.
That's what I believe in.
Yeah.
But I don't want, you know, the government choosing over the individual.
No.
That's not where I'm at. But
as an adult, you should be able
to make
any, we're talking about kids. And let me just say this here. I am here for the kids. I don't care what any, cut every limb off of your whole body, dude, and become a beach ball. I really don't care. That's what you want to do. And it makes you feel
to do plastic surgery.
Totally. Like you go right ahead. I really feel as an elder in this community and somebody who it did change my life and it did, you know, help me become a better person. I want other people to have what I have, but I want it in a way that says, hold on here. If anything you do fast, you're going to screw up anything. I don't care what it is. You do it too fast. You're missing out on things. All I'm saying is we need to slow down. There could be some trans kids out there, no doubt about it, but to just shove medication because the child says they're trans. I have a 10-year-old son. Believe me, they change their mind on a daily basis. Don't tell me kids don't. You know, one day you want to wear this costume, the next day you want to wear that costume. To put a kid in that medicalized space so early, I think is absurd and dangerous. And we're seeing it now. We're seeing the dangers of these things just rolling out. Like, oh, there's 5,000 trans kids. Really? How did that happen? And how come there wasn't 5,000 trans kids 10 years ago?
Yeah. Do you think there's a confusion amongst, like, because there is this kind of idea of like, okay, well, sex is one thing, right? It's biological.
Yeah.
But gender, you know, it's almost like, because I always felt like we were sort of moving, or we're in the process of moving away from like that label of like, okay, like as a female, should be able to like say wear a suit. Okay.
That's right.
Because I actually love men's clothing. I would love to dress up. I love feminine clothing too, but I like men's clothing.
Yeah.
And but now I know, like, if I wore men's clothing, it'd be like a whole statement. So I'm like,
oh my God, you'd be non-binary or
something. I'd be non-binary or something, right? So I'm like, I feel uncomfortable wearing it, right? Because yeah, I don't want to make a whole statement with my clothes. But like, and for men, like, I'm like, men wearing makeup, totally cool. Like, why not?
Yeah.
Like, and people made these huge statements about what's his name, like this musician, like he was wearing.
Oh, Sam Smith, that one.
Smith, yeah. I'm like, okay, who cares? So he wears whatever he wears. But they make these, like, he's sick. They were equating it to like being a groom or a pedophile. Because he's wearing what, like an apron or a dress or whatever he was wearing. He's a pedophile. Like the absurdity of jumping from that to that. That discourse to me, it's kind of sickening.
It's gross. He's an adult. He's an adult. And also, did people not forget about Boy George or Bowie? Or, I mean, there's so many people that have, and we used to call that gender queer, okay? Or not, you know, non-conforming. It's basically gender non-conforming. It's the same thing. They're just calling it non-binary now. And it isn't weird to me because that's what people are, they should be able to find their expression and it should be okay. The reason why those people are saying those kinds of things is because the trans community itself is pushing and saying really disgusting shit to people. So I keep saying it, when one pushes, the other one pushes back. And then now we're in this sort of war between each other, like this person calling TERFs and these people calling us groomers. And, you know, now there's this, all of this insanity happening on both sides.
Yeah. And I see it in both sides and I see it getting more extreme. Like,
it's gross.
You actually don't necessarily see it getting more extreme on the trans side because it's already it's where it's gonna be. but I have been seeing it getting way more radical. And I think I mentioned it to you earlier before we started a conversation where I've seen how when that whole groomer discourse started, you know, it's just like I immediately felt really uncomfortable with that.
Yeah, because me too.
It was this conflation of like somebody's to me, first of all, groomers, this idea of like sexually grooming someone to become, you know, or like it's a pedophilic.
That's kind right. Of pedophilic. That's right.
And I think, you know, as much as people sort of complain, the left is changing words, and I call this word misappropriation. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, now I see the exact same thing is happening sort of on the right.
Yep.
And groomer, I think, is an excellent example of that.
Yep.
And I remember I posted something kind of countering that, and people got very mad at me, of course. But they were like, but almost like they were upset that I wasn't allowing them to use this word or was speaking up about it. But then people's interpretation of the word, as I found out, were by their comments, was like all over the place. There were people who actually took it to mean actually pedophilia.
Okay.
And other people who, you know, it was like, just something very innocent, like something totally different, right? All over the place. It was like, you know, somebody talking about their husband at school, you know, and they're
No, groomer is a very specific thing. And that's why when someone calls me a groomer because I've worked in the pornography business, I'm very insulted by that. I work in an adult space. It's called adult entertainment. And it's for very specific people. You have to go looking for it, right? So it's not something that I'm just flinging around. And so I take really offense to that because I work in a legal business and I do things for adults who can consenting adults. And that means something. Groomers are creepy people who you can groom an adult, but most of the time I think it's really what you said earlier for pedophilia and somebody, an adult grooming a child to be sexual with them. And it's a, you know, back in the day in the gay world, we you know, the NAMBLA, remember National Association of Man Boy Love? You might not.
Oh, yeah,
you might
be too young. Yeah. No, but I know. I do know of it.
Yeah. Yeah. So they tried to latch on to the gay man space and we went, what? Get away from us. And today we have MAPS, right? So they literally changed the definition and call it MAPS now and expecting the trans community to sort of embrace this MAP space. It's actually getting creepy and weird. And as somebody who's very pro sex and grooming has nothing to do with any of that. It's a non-consensual, creepy, weird, you know, and it has to do with, you know, grooming a child into a space of sexual stuff. It's disgusting. And so, you know, when you get called, someone calls you or me a groomer, they're doing a disservice to the actual real meaning of that word and why that word is very important. But we've lost it now because everyone just throws it against, like, transphobia. Everyone's transphobic. Yeah, that's right.
And I see it no different than, you know, how people misuse the word Nazi or white supremacist.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
It's like, if everyone is a white supremacist, then no one's a white supremacist.
That's right.
I mean, I got called a white supremacist.
Me too, all the time. All the time.
I'm Jewish.
Nazi. I'm like, are you, like, literally, my partner's Jewish. And we're like, our kid goes to a Jewish school. Are you kidding me? Like, don't do that. That is so nasty. The way they fling Nazi around is nasty and gross. And you know what I mean? It's like saying the N-word all the time. All of a sudden, you can just start calling everybody that. Like, what are you talking about? You have to look, you know, you have a responsibility. Whether or not people understand that or not, you have a responsibility of what comes out of your mouth. And if you're not being responsible for that, then you are contributing to the downfall of what's happening right now, because you're just spitting out things without understanding what you're spitting out.
No, exactly. But I have been noticing, like, it seems to have been getting far more extreme, and I understand it. You get it. I, like you said, it is a reaction or overreaction.
Yes.
I think if you know, obviously the narratives, and I think of course, like, the suppression, and I think people are kind of getting a taste of a little bit of power. And this is, and I think what happens is, like, I think when people feel themselves kind of a victim.
Yes.
And I think that's what's happening is, like, I think, and maybe that's what's been happening on the left too. It's like this sense of, like, victimhood turn into, hey, we got a little bit of power, or a lot of power, actually, because there's a lot of institutional power and power, media power, cultural power. And now that they have this power after, you know, there has been certain abuses and all sorts of discrimination, all sorts of things. Mm-hmm. But now that the victim has power, we're going to do this thing with the power. Yeah. And now on the right, or the oppositional force, whatever you want to call it, you know, I hate the left-right thing, but
I know, me too. But how else do you explain it?
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to kind of
support
him. Yeah. But it's like, that is what happened. You know, my dad would often tell me the story about, you know, when he was in the military, and, you know, mandatory military. Ah. But he, you know, the new soldiers would come in because they had sort of hazing rituals, right? That were sort of mandatory. And they were terrible, terrible rituals. But the after the new recruits have gone through it and they get their own batch of recruits, they were like, oh, we can't wait. They couldn't wait to do the same thing that was done to them, right? And there's that mentality, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of, like, in part what's happening.
Yeah.
There, you know, but then on top of it, it's like, now they're getting a little bit of power. Maybe they might be getting a lot of power. I mean, I honestly don't know where it's heading. And it's like, and I'm seeing it just grow and grow and grow.
Yeah.
And it is, it's like you said, it's getting nasty, and it's getting, like, I corrected, there was somebody who tweeted, I think it was Miss Universe or Miss World pageant, and she said, it is now, Miss Universe is now trans, which wasn't an accurate statement of fact, even, right? Because it was, it's owned by, I can't remember which pageant it was, but it was like, it's owned by a trans person. It's not, but the winner was not.
That's
so I corrected that. And I said, hey, like, that's not accurate. And, you know, if you're interested in being honest, like, he would
fact.
Yeah, but, you know, there was no correction, but I got attacked, like, in the comments, right? But the comments were just so vile, so legitimately transphobic, right? Not the things that trans activists call it transphobic, but, like, legitimate transphobic, and just vile, but also just, like, stupid, because they weren't, like, reading my correction properly, right? Because it was just a correction. It was just fact.
Oh no, but they can't handle it. They lose it. They, you know, and everyone does that. That's probably was that Twitter, because
Yes, it's
they
always
lose it.
Twitter.
I mean, it's like a cesspool. I throw a tweet out and I run. I mean, kidding. I put it and I'm like, see you later. I'm not gonna even
Yeah, hit
look
and
at
run,
it. I totally
tweet
tweet and run, because I'm like, oh God, they're all gonna be like, blah, 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 blah. You know, people just, yeah, they feel like, I also feel like people feel like they have to be right. People aren't willing to be wrong anymore. People aren't willing to just sit back and say, okay, I'm going to listen to this for a minute and maybe I'm going to get a different opinion. Everyone's very opinionated now and very much stuck in their opinion without giving space to, well, maybe I could change my mind a little bit. You know, I've changed my mind a lot over the last 10 years on certain things. I was very pro
Me too.
transitioning children, probably 5 or so years ago. And I started doing my research on it because someone said to me,
Interesting.
Buck, why don't you go look at something here? And I said, okay, that's fair enough. I'll do that. And I did. And I was like, wow, that's not what the trans community is telling me. So, you know, I think we've lost this idea that you've got to do some due diligence and you've got to look at other side. I follow all kinds of people, by the way. I don't just follow people I like or people that are speaking like me. I follow people that hate me. And I do that for a reason, because you've got to see what's going on there. And people will say, oh, Buck, why are you following X, Y, and Z? I'm like, you actually know who I'm following? That's creeping me out.
Right.
Oh my God. Like, what are you doing seeing all the people I follow? It's, you know, it's just a weird world. We can't
I had
have
somebody go
opinions.
through a whole history of who I followed and in what order and how I must have changed. So, like, I used to follow more leftist people and just more reasonable. And then I've become more extreme because now I follow more people on the right. And so I must have, this is what happened. Like, they did a whole psychoanalysis on me, and I'm like, wow. And people still definitely challenge, like, some of the people I follow. And some of the
Oh
people
yeah.
I follow, I don't even want to, like, I follow them for a similar reason that you do. Like, I'm just trying to be like a little bit, and they bug the heck out of me with their opinions, like, but I
I know, me
just
too,
like
but I don't
I
care.
have to challenge myself to not like
Well, no, me
unfollow
too. You know, I follow Matt Walsh, who, you know, in
them.
the beginning, I'm going to follow this guy and see what he has to say. And then, like, there was a couple of things I actually really liked because he was really sticking up for women. But then he started getting like creepy and weird and really angry and really like, dude, you're over talking women. Like, yeah, it's really cool that you want to support women, but come on, let women have the opportunity to speak for themselves here, dude. And then he just started getting nasty. And then, you know, I stopped following him because I didn't like what I was seeing. And I realized, okay, I got this guy. I see how he is.
Well, if you're not going to learn anything potentially, like I think there's a level of like where it's more like it's not going to challenge your beliefs at that
No,
point.
that's right.
And I
That's
think
right.
with him, it was like I did listen to stuff in the beginning at some point. What I don't like about people, and this is I got some flack about today because I kind of went and challenged him, and I guess by definition his fans. I just feel like I guide myself with like, okay, what's useful? Like he's speaking to the converted, and he's making them angry. And this is in
That's
general
right.
what I'm seeing, right? Like it's
That's right.
like the people who do well on Twitter and social media platforms, they're good at this outrage game, you know? Maybe they feel that, like, I'm not saying it's not genuine. He might believe, I'm sure he believes all this stuff, but it's this outrage, and it fuels more outrage, and it does the exact same thing that the people they propose, you know, say they're against. They do they're playing the same game, so why should I follow them?
That's right.
And it also, like, okay, if you're really against transitioning in children, so who does the most transitions in children? It's going to be liberals, right? It's
Oh,
for the
sure.
most
Yeah,
part,
for
yeah.
sure.
And it's going to be, and you know, while he might assume they're the devil, but I tend to believe that they're probably parents who kind of care about their children and just think it's the best thing for them. So
That's right.
maybe he might think they're misguided, and okay, fair enough. Maybe they're misguided, but how do you speak to people? How do you change somebody's mind who's misguided? By villainizing them, by saying they are the mortar, you know, they're the
That's
golems
right.
of the world and should deserve to burn in hell? Or do you, like, you know, make good arguments? So, and I know I get like called out things for that, and I'm naive or whatever, or I'm a fence sitter, or I'm a coward, like whatever
a fence
people
sitter.
Call me. Oh yeah, I get called a fence sitter lately.
God.
And you know, apparently that's the safest position, except it's not, because you can get knocked
it's
off
not.
Very easily if you
that's
sit.
That's right. It's
you
not.
You probably develop a rash and you have no spot, you know. and you have no side to defend you, right? Like,
that's
so you're,
right.
You're no man's land.
That's
so
right.
It's like the most unsafe position.
That's right.
But like, I genuinely believe that that is not the way, these extremist ways are not the way forward. And so, but also they're not serving. So, okay, so the arguments that people made, and I did concede talking about changing your mind, is that maybe some of what he did led to policy changes.
Mm-hmm.
But then the policy changes that he's making are only in red states, basically,
because
he's not going to make any progress in any blue states. And
nope.
Yeah, there may be some blue voters in those states, and then now he's, you know, forced into these things because, you know, I understand Republicans only, as they say, want to be left alone, except when it comes to.
Except, there you go. But.
But it's like. But it's like. But I feel like ultimately, you know, if you want to make a real change and you want to make a change that affects more people, you got to work with people.
That's
and
right.
You've got to. And right. You know what? There's a lot of, like, I worked in the film industry. There's a lot of, it's not a right-wing industry.
Nope.
And there's a lot of people who share these concerns.
Yep.
So if you want to reach them, you don't reach them in these ways.
No, you're just divide. You're making more divide. And that's, look, trans people are going to be here forever. Whether you like us or not, we're going to be here. That's the reality. We've been here. We have been here. The problem is that there's a part of the trans community that has become radical activists, and they're not about the transition. They're about something else. I can't really tell you what it is, but there's something else there. So that has caused people like Matt Walsh and all those other people to just think we're all crazy and we have to all shut it down, which is totally horrifying for me to see. So as a 60-year-old and somebody who's transitioned 30 years ago, I'm pretty set. You know, I don't have to worry about anything. If my medicine, I can get it if it isn't legal or whatever. I'm fine. I worry about the younger people who do need what I had. You know, it's an actual real thing. They do have gender dysphoria and they need to transition. But now we're going at such extremes to shut the whole thing down and nobody's trans and it's all ideology. And you know, I'm going to say that I do believe the trans activism really created this. And not necessarily the hardcore right, but the trans activists created this pushback on us. Because, you know, I've seen a lot of change in the last 10 years. And I can tell you, as a transsexual, I have a huge amount of rights in this country. And it's the reason why I live free. So this idea that trans rights or human rights are, we need our rights. We have a lot of rights, more rights than these people seem to understand. But now those rights that we all fought for are being taken away. Because it got too extreme from the trans activism. I'm going to say activists, not the trans community, the trans activists, and doing crazy stuff. And then when you start bringing children, I'm sorry, but I said it. When you bring children into this space and you start saying sex changes for children, we're done. And I knew it. I mean, once you bring children into anything, right? Look at the drag queen freak out. Because everyone's like, we can't have drag queens around kids. Well, we shouldn't have done that. I'll be honest with you. Drag queens are an adult space. Like, you know, drag stuff is very sexual and it has a very much of a adult themed space. So if we wanted to have kids around drag queens, we should have done it in a way that wasn't sort of like in your face. Like, look at this.
So I think the idea behind, and I read some of the papers about it, like, or glanced at it. I shouldn't say I read. but I mean, the papers seem to be indicating that the idea behind the drag shows for kids was to sort of embrace the idea of, like, that there is, you know, trans, that there is drag, there's diversity, and to sort of have kids kind of be on board with that early on, which is a very ideological position.
That's right.
And Yeah. So I don't know if that's the right thing to do, but I think, if you have like, and I've seen some drag performances where they're very like, they're very nice. Like the
Oh,
performers get to like
sure.
sort of read the books and
Well,
they're
yeah, and
in the
they're buttoned
dress.
up. They're like
They're
this.
buttoned up. They're very
Yeah,
polite. There's
totally.
nothing
That's
inappropriate. And I
different.
don't think that's so bad. But when
No.
you're looking at like some of the other performances, absolutely they're problematic. They're the long a night.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the
Yeah.
two kind of get conflated
That's
together, which
right.
is like, and I don't really
That's right.
understand parents who are like, I think they're just it's this like you're supposed to accept everything. And so they're afraid to cut it, even challenge that because they're
Of
like supposed
course,
to be,
yeah.
yeah.
They don't want to seem like they're anti-LGBT because you see how they positioned it all. They've positioned it. Who's ever really ahead of all this stuff? They're great marketers. They positioned it so that you can't say anything, or else you're a bigot, or you're a
Yeah.
transphobe, or you're, homophobic, or you're. No, I'm telling you, as someone who's an elder in this community, we should not be having boobies out and
And
twerking to a.
kids putting dollar bills in the
No, I'm going to tell you no. As a parent, as a transsexual, as all, no. And as somebody who works in the adult space, no, no,
It
no,
is very
no.
bizarre to me, and it is bizarre how easy you can be accused of these things. And I'm like thinking about it, I'm like,
That's
why
right.
am I afraid of being like, listen,
That's.
I was somebody who's never in my life been like I've accepted, people. I mean, being accepting of gay people and things like that is not that like it's relatively recent to the extent that it
That's
is.
right. That's right.
And when I went to high school, people were not. I mean, people made jokes
That's right.
and bullied, all that stuff. And I actually was somebody who like, I don't know, just naturally always understood it. And same with trans, like everything, like I just inherently understood, never really had to kind of think about it. But and whereas a lot of these people probably didn't, and they're
No.
the ones who are actually the probably the biggest bullies in this regard now.
That's
So I
right.
find that like really ironic.
I know. It is kind of, I mean, it's just messy. And I part of me is like, are they doing all this to say, look over here, look over here? Why other stuff is happening over here? Because I do believe those things do happen. Like, why is this such a huge thing now? Drag queens, trans. Why is it just like at the tip of everyone's? Why is the president of the United States bringing somebody like Dylan Mulvaney to the White House? Why is that? That is not okay. I'm not okay with that. I'll be honest with you. First off, he's far from a representation, or I'm sorry, I apologize. She is far from a representation of this community. Why didn't you bring an elder, an older person who's been around doing championing the rights of this community
No, I
forever?
agree. Somebody who just transitioned did not really make sense to me at
It
all.
was
Just from just a
ridiculous.
very objective point of view, it has
That
nothing to
person
even
didn't
do
say
with
anything that.
Dylan.
Re Yeah, it didn't reflect anything for me at all. And
Yeah.
they're not reflecting the trans community. So you have to bring somebody who has a little bit more nuance in our space. And we have lots of people who've been doing this work for a million years. So I'm just saying that says something weird to me. Like, why is the White House bringing people like that? And they've never done that before. And they're only flying the trans flag or whatever that flag is on the outside of our White House. I'm like, what? What about all other kinds of groups of people? If you're flying one flag, you got to fly other flags. You can't just fly the trans, whatever that flag is, the
I don't know,
progressive.
it's these movements. Like
No,
I
I
don't
don't
know.
like
I
it.
mean, there's lobbying power behind it,
Oh, sure.
or
It's money. It's all
yeah,
money.
it's
There's
money.
no doubt for
Well,
sure.
you're right. I mean, when an industry gets created, it's like even with the pronouns, I remember like I didn't think much of them originally. And then when I saw that LinkedIn started putting them in, I was like, oh, that's it. I'm in it now. It's
Totally.
like,
We're
okay.
screwed.
Yeah, so I'm like, okay, whatever, do your thing. But then, oh, okay, now it's on a corporate level.
Yeah,
Okay, that's it.
scary.
That's
No,
it.
that's what I said. I'm like, holy crap. It's like literally people at like Forbes or two doing. I'm like, oh, wow, this is so scary. No, I don't
Well,
like stuff like
COVID
that.
too, like with COVID testing and stuff like that, I was like, okay, or masks, like it's just very hard. Whether you agree with it or not, it doesn't really matter. It's just that once you create an industry, that right. industry wants to stay there.
That's right.
So it's going to do everything in its power. And the bigger the industry, it's like electric car. I mean, I have one, so it's not like I'm bashing electric cars, but like if you want other kinds of energy,
that's right.
You know, but everybody's invested in this one infrastructure. Right. Good luck.
That's right. No, that's a great analogy. And I do. How come everyone is pushing? Why are we? Let me say something about transition. Medical should be the last resort. It should not be the first resort. There's stuff going on here, kiddo. There's a lot of stuff going on with your kiddo. And you got to get your kid not into affirmative therapy, because that's not therapy. It's just saying, okay, you said you're and then like, there you go. You're not dealing with what's going on here. And I'm telling you, it's going to crash and burn, maybe in 5, maybe in 10, maybe in 20. And then the kid's going to get pissed because you didn't do the right thing for that kid. So we are putting the cart before the horse on some level. We're saying medicalized medical, it'll fix everything. When we've proven that it doesn't, that all the studies and all the other countries shut down. They stopped everything because they said it's not actually working. And we're ramping it up in the United States because it's cost a lot. Those puberty blockers are like $48,000 or some insanity like that. It's all money.
Well, and I looked at, because I was wondering, like, okay, why do people not like do the full transition? Okay. So I looked into that, and then I was like, okay, well, suicides are very high after the fact. And then I was like, okay, why is that?
That's right.
So first of all, like you said, that is probably not being fixed.
Yep.
Two, the actual operations, the success rate is actually very, like the odds of things going wrong is very high. There's many complications. People can't experience pleasure. There's an open way. Like just once I started learning about that, I was like, oh, okay, if you can avoid the, if you can live a fulfilled enough life without that operation, do that. So I certainly don't question anybody at this point about not doing that operation. But the infrastructure is there, the industry is there. So they no doubt are pushing people because that's how they make money.
That's right.
And that is scary because those people are in a vulnerable position. If I was in that position myself, like I probably would consider that. And, you know, if somebody was invested in trying to get my money.
And now insurance pays
insurance
for it all.
Company.
So it's
insurance.
It's become a whole thing. If anybody out there knows Jazz Jennings, she's a total 100%. You can see she was put on puberty blockers at like 10, eventually wanted to get her vagioplasty, right? And she couldn't do it because her penis didn't grow because they put her on puberty blockers. Your penis needs to grow in order to do the vagioplasty. So she had to use her colon. Oh my God. She had to use her colon in order to do that particular surgery. And she's like, literally you can just watch her show. It's like 9 or 10 seasons now. It's so insane. And you can just see the mental toll, all of it's taking on this young person. And it just saddens me. And I don't know why people aren't seeing this. You don't have to do that to a kid. You got to let a kid go through some turmoil. Like we're acting like, oh my God, they're going to kill themselves. No, they're not. We don't have a high rate of suicide. We have a high rate of suicidal ideation, just like a lot of other communities do. Ideation is not suicide.
So that's what they keep saying is that kids will kill themselves.
That's not true. They don't even show me. If that was the case, we'd have a pile full of kids. We'd have a mountain full of dead kids. And they're not. They're not killing themselves over. That's not true. Now, they do have suicide.
Ideations, right? Yeah.
Ideation is different than actually committing. A lot of people, I thought about it. A lot of people think about those things, not just trans people. You know, people who have eating disorders or just anxiety or depression or, you know, suicide is a thing.
Most
for
teenagers.
Sure. Young girls, they just did that study, I think I just saw, where young girls now are just like totally out of it. Not trans, you know, girls are just out of it. They're depressed at a high rate. They're, you know, suicidal. We're not talking about that, are we? Only about trans kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's interesting because the way it's being phrased, and I have to say, I haven't fully looked into it, so I'm a little bit ignorant on that particular data point.
I don't like that they sling around suicide like that. You know, it's a very, very horrible thing to think about suicide. I did it, and I actually did attempt suicide. So as 16. But that being said, you know, you got to understand the difference, and to manipulate a parent like that and say, if you don't transition your child, they'll kill themselves is sick. It's actually sick and twisted that anybody in the medical world would ever do that to a parent and put a parent in his position. What do you think a parent's going to say? What would you say if they said to you right now, if you don't transition your child, what would you do?
Yeah, I would want to help my child and think that transitioning is, well, that's why I'm saying when they vilify the parents for this stuff, like the parents aren't the villains in this story.
They're not.
They're being told these things and they're trying to help their children.
That's right. Thank
and
you.
And like I said, like, I don't know what I would do in that position. Like,
None of us do. But for them to do that is disgusting. And that's our medical space. What about happen to do no harm? Like, what's happening with even our doctors? They're like captured in this ideal. It's an ideological space. It has nothing to do with medicine. It has to do with something else to me, because why would you want to do that to kids? Like, kids are so vulnerable. Kids don't know who they are. Come on, man. We've all been kids. Like, I felt like a boy when I was a kid, but I also want to stay here that I had a great childhood. I did not have a horrible childhood, an awesome childhood. And so that's not true that you can't live with your, and I was dysphoric, but I lived.
I felt like a boy.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Right on.
I didn't feel like, I think growing up, I definitely felt more like a boy. I, even to this day, I would say, even though I'm pretty feminine, I mean, feminine preventing or whatever.
Yeah.
I would say I'm pretty feminine in many ways. There's a part of me that's quite masculine. I kind of feel in many ways that way. So it's not like, it's funny because I know that I come across not that way, but
no, but I can see it. I can see. I just can see that what you're saying, and that's really an important thing to say, because there are a lot of women who grew up as tomboys who you know, whatever, you were masculine or tomboy, whatever, who literally grew out of it, are married, have kids, love being with their husband, you know, are straight, and none of that. Who always tell me I would have been transitioned today. They all say that to me. I would have been transitioned if I was a kid today. Maybe you would have.
I mean, it wasn't. I don't know. I mean, I wasn't at the time, you know, it wasn't something that I would have even been aware of. Right. Like,
right.
You know, when I grew up, nobody talked about that kind of stuff. Like, I don't think I even was aware of trans people as a child.
Probably
like,
not.
It just wasn't something that the people talked about. But I certainly felt like, you know, I definitely dressed in that way. I certainly liked to play with boys. I played boy games for the most part. You know, I was gifted some Barbies, but like, you know, it's just I happened to have some toys, but I also played with, you know, so I liked. It was just different. Like, that's just how I was. And I definitely internalized a more masculine kind of, you know, just because I like being around boys. And it was just, it was just a different, I had some female friends, but I related more in a different way.
Right.
And then I grew up kind of being around men more. And, and so it's just different, but like, but that's again, the thing I think we should, and this is where like, I felt like we were going to this world where we were like, no labels, you shouldn't be able to ask, and you shouldn't like ask people if they're that's gay. Right. And now it's that's like, you're right. Sticking these identity labels, that's like right. on job, you know, you're applying for a job and they ask you if you're gay, if you're trans,
like,
none of your business, like
none of your business.
You.
I'm not putting my pronouns. You know why I don't put my pronouns? I work hard to look like a dude. And if you're asking me my pronouns, it's insulting beyond belief. I'm like, what? So that's where, again, I got to show you the difference between a transsexual person who would never, never put their pronouns down, because you're automatically wanting people just to see you as a man. And so I'm, you know, that's why I don't understand. It's not real. What's happening right now is not real. It's a trans space that is created for an identity space. It has nothing to do with what I did. And so that's what people need to understand. This isn't going to last forever. It's not. And it's why it's scary to me that young people are being pushed into this space. And if you notice, we have a huge, huge amount of detransitioners. These are the young people who are being put in this space and going, no. And I'm like, well, that's why it's growing so fast, people. We have thousands of these young, mostly girls. You know that.
Yeah. But so you said you don't think it's going to last forever, but no. What's the way out? Because right now it's like we're seeing kind of a war brewing here for the most part.
That's
so
right.
What's
going to happen is this. We're going to
war out.
Yeah, totally.
Well, slip.
Right on. But no, honestly, what I think is going to happen is that we're starting to see that this is not healthy and that kids are being put into this space, peer pressure. There's a lot of peer pressure. You know, I talked to a lot of the detransitioners and why they went, and this was a lot of it was peer pressure for them. I think what we're going to see is that we need to stop this idea, self-ID, and that we have to stop people like our organizations like Planned Parenthood being able to, you can just walk in at 16 without your parents' consent and just say, I want hormones. And you get them. It's all going to stop. That's the problem, is it's too accessible to these young people. It should never be this accessible. You know how hard it was for me to get testosterone back in the day? Oh my God. I had a script and I would go to the pharmacy and they'd be like, we're not giving this to you. You're a woman. You don't need this. Like the pharmacist would tell me that kind of stuff. Today you can go online to a thing and have a 15-minute intake on Skype and get your hormones sent in a beautiful, nice box with a ribbon on it. I'm like, what? So to answer your question, I do think it's going to start to see that how insane this is and how on some level illegal it is. And it's going to start to come back. And we said, that's why the detransitioners are so important in this message, because they're the ones being hurt. We can't have a bunch of young girls running around who are sterile and have no boobs and don't have an opportunity to grow into their womanhood where they should have been able to do that.
Do you think that's the key, is like the detransitioners and those messages reaching?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep. 100%. It's why I support them, why I'm with them, why I believe that it's important for an older transsexual person like myself to show that I have no problem. The problem I have is my heart hurts for them. They don't in any way, shape, or form take anything away from my transition at all. I'm like, no, no, no. These kids are gold. We need to show that. How dare we do this to a young generation? Can you imagine how many of these young girls are going to be in the next 10 years? Even the next 5 years, we're going to have massive amounts of these young girls who did things like cut their breasts off or even had hysterectomies. It's insane.
That's kind of where I think the detransitioners is probably where I was informed, where I formed my opinion the most as well. So I think you're probably correct.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I didn't have any particular special interest in this area.
Sure.
And I just came across this and they don't have any vested interest except for sharing their own story and their experience.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Thank you for saying that. You know, they get so much hate from the transgender community. And I'm like, wow, really, people? You are sick. That's what I'm telling you. It's a false community. It's built on false values. It's built on complete, total this desire to be something they're not. And we're doing such a disservice to a young generation of people saying it'll change your whole life. You'll be so great. Really? No. So when the community goes, those people are lying and they're just going against all, no, they're not. They're not lying. It's their own personal experience. And if they were lying about it, then why would they be even having this? Why are we having this conversation? Why is it so accessible to a 16-year-old? I want to know, why can a 16-year-old go and have their breast cut off and have a hysterectomy and take hormones without any kind of psychotherapy? That's the question I keep asking. How is that possible?
I mean, these are literally people who believed in it, thought that they were, you know, and then they had this experience. So there's no better like lived experience to go by than that.
That's right. It's so absurd. And they hide them. They hide them, or they try to hide them, because they don't want to admit what's happening is actually disgusting. And I want to admit it because I care about this community and I care about what it's done for me. And I care about future generations of transsexual people who need this. We need it. I wouldn't be here today if I didn't have what I have. And, you know, I'm not going to throw that. It saved my life. And, you know, they've just all these tropes that they keep putting out there. It's not, I wouldn't be here. I don't know where. I just wouldn't be here. And that's why it's important that we have these conversations and show that there are people who need this.
Exactly. And that's why I think it's important to have the conversation. And it's important for us to be like open and honest, because there isn't this like either or kind of situation. That's because, you know, there are people who are trans, there are people who need the transitions, there are people who need to be seen and talked to and understood. But also there are things that are going wrong in this and in what's happening. And I think we can't help them. Like, I think if we can't have honest conversations, how are we going to help people? How are we going to find better solutions? And, you know, I think this kind of stifling of conversation is what's kind of caused a lot of this damage.
Yep.
And I think also it's very unhelpful to yell at people and be like, you know, whether it's one side doing it or another side doing it. And it's all part of the same, you know, snake, basically.
Yeah.
And so I think we all need to be able to have these like kinds of civil conversations and, you know, whatever people think that's
it's weird.
Cowardice or whatever.
Do you know how many on right, hardcore right wing shows I go on all of them because they ask me and I debate these people. And most of the time, I would say almost 99% of the time, I walk away with as friends, shaking my hand and saying, thanks, Buck. You know, we really appreciate you coming on. I'm like, all your followers probably won't understand what I'm saying, but at least I got to say it. And the next thing you know, I get all these comments from like hardcore Christian, like, dude, they're like, wow, thank you, Buck. I just, you know, you explained it to me. And I understand now what a transsexual person is and why you do need it. So I will take the opportunity if people will listen, right? Just sit and listen. You might not want to hear it, but I guarantee you, if the things that you hate, listen to, because you will learn something from that. Why do you hate it? Why do you hate this kind of person? And then you can start to understand, well, maybe I'm getting a message from someone that's telling me something different. The trans activists are ruining it for all of us. They're not a representation of this community. They're a representation of some crazy fascist movement that wants to take over everything. And, you know, I do blame academia on some level as well. You know, it's gotten into that university system. And so many of the young trans kids are coming from these university spaces as well.
Yeah. And I think a lot of times people don't understand, get kind of, they don't even really understand why they don't like something.
They
just have these irrational kind of thoughts that they never really considered. And when you really kind of nail down, it's like, oh, I don't really know. And sometimes if you can get them to slow down their thoughts and emotions and reconsider, sometimes you can get through that. And I've noticed even like when I first discovered Blair White, I was reading the comments and there were a lot of comments where they're like, you know, I thought I hated trans people, but you made me kind of rethink that because now I see that there is like rational people. And actually what I hated were these like activists.
That's right.
Yeah. That's right. So I that's think right. there's a lot to putting, and that's why it's important to have different voices. And I think I've heard you say basically, you know, I speak for myself, you know, and I think
that's
there's
right.
too many people who say, oh no, I speak for, you know, they just take this, like, I speak for everyone, you know?
No, they do. There's trans people in the community who are like, oh, I read that JK thing. You don't need to read it. I'm like, what? You're actually telling people not to read it, that you read it and you're the authority. Wow. That right. So that says to me right there, that's what they're doing. They're training these kids to not do their due diligence and to not look at all sides, that the leader of the trans community, these people, they know what's going on. And I'll just follow, you know, kids are very easy to manipulate and very easy to sort of get on board of things without doing that thought process and just making them excited to be trans and giving them flags and buttons and all kinds of shit.
Well, not just kids though, I have to say, but
adults
are just, I mean, sometimes kids are better at questioning things. I taught high school for a little while.
Oh, wow.
And I was really like, I loved my, like, the kids were just so good at questioning things. Like, they were better than the adults. They were like, I love that they would question me. I'm like, I encourage that. I'm like,
yes,
question me.
Thank you.
You should question me. That's what you need to teach kids, is like, question people, question authority figures, question everybody.
Oh my God, but they're not.
But question.
But that, when I say kids, remember how old I am. So, I mean, I'm talking about 20-something right. year olds.
Hey, and, listen, and I also taught university, and I called my students kids, and some of them were older than me at the time.
But I do think we've lost it even in the universe. I used to speak at all the universities all over the world, and now all of a sudden in America, I can't speak there because I'm a transphobe. So I'm like, what? I'm trans.
You are a transphobe. That's really a whole new level of... And that's the thing. You're right. I mean, academia, where you're supposed to be able to explore ideas and thoughts, and there you are. You're like,
no,
you can't.
You can't.
Like, this is the last, like, this is the worst place to explore anything.
That's,
it's like,
right.
It's this is why, like, I've become more outspoken, is because, you know, I hate to say my side. it's just like, it's just become so, like, you know, it's funny because, like, the free speech was a thing that was very important in questioning things. And it's like, suddenly it's like, you couldn't, maybe it wasn't so sudden, but it felt almost sudden.
Yeah.
It's like, you couldn't do that. And there's like this unspoken rule, is like, you can't question things. You can't talk about certain
That's
things.
Right.
You can only have this one opinion. And if you didn't have this opinion that you shared, well, you're on the outs, you're a bad person. And it's like,
crazy.
I think it was important to represent that, like, people like me, you know, could speak.
Right.
And I know that I'm not a minority. I know
that's
that
right.
I'm not.
That's
I
right.
just know that I'm a minority in speaking. But I know
Which
that
is weird.
A lot of people share my thoughts. Yeah.
They do. A lot of people share my thoughts, and they're always like, oh, I can't do it, but please, you know, believe me, I'm very aware of the space I'm in, and that I am able to say things that not very many people could say in this particular fight. I do understand that, and I don't take it for granted. But it does also hurt me when I have a community of people I've fought for many years come after me because I'm not, you know, the right trans person, or I just, you know, it's not just the trans thing. It's a lot of stuff. We're not allowed to say things. We're not allowed to question. I'm like, I lived in Mexico for 10 years and I've traveled the world and I've been in places where you can't say things. You'll get killed. And, you know, I'm like, what are you people doing? This is the, you know, fabric of our country. We're supposed to be able to say things that might hurt your feelings. Sorry, but, and now we're not even allowed to sort of even on accident misgender somebody. Like, what? Like, it's a bizarre, and to me it's very anti-American on some level, where we're
it
where
is we're, and it's anti-freedom, you know.
Yeah.
Ultimately.
Yeah.
It's anti-freedom.
Yeah.
It's anti-liberal.
Yeah.
You know,
liberal, totally. Yeah. I'm a liberal. I'm 100% a liberal thinker. I'm a free thinker. I believe in, you know, the government not telling me how to be. I believe in certain things and being able to say and walk and dress and be how you need to be. But this new sort of kind of, which what they call the left space, doesn't seem to resonate with me. And that scares me because I've always been a very liberal person.
It's almost like a Puritanism that's rising from, it's funny because it's both on the left and the right. It's
that's
just,
right.
It just manifests itself a little differently.
Yep.
But it's
yep.
the same, and it's kind of authoritarianism.
Very.
You know?
Very.
And it is scary, and it's weird how it's crept into so many topics of conversation.
Yeah.
And that's what really, I think, bothers me. And I think that's where it's like, okay, that's my line. I think that's where I was finally is like, okay, that is my line in the sand, which I didn't, you know, I'm not a particularly brave person or anything like that.
You are. Today, you would be considered brave because you're having conversation with people like me and Colin, and you know what I mean? And you're stepping outside of that, which I'm going to say is awesome, because what you do that, it encourages other people to do that. So I just want to say that. Thank you, because it is, and especially because you're a journalist, it is very important that you do it as well, because I do think on some level, even journalism I see has taken a weird turn, not for the better.
Well, that's why, but that's, you know, honestly, that's why I felt a sense of responsibility to do it, because I think it makes, I hope it makes a bigger difference.
It does.
When somebody like me does it, who is not, you know, conventionally would normally do it. Like, you know.
But that says a lot. You know that? It says a lot, because what you just said, you're not conventionally do it, that you are doing it, then that people see that. You know, people are scared. You know that, right? People are scared to death to do
it. I know that because I'm scared to death.
Yeah, but not scared to death enough to to put yourself in a space that you could lose whatever you could lose, right? And same for me. And so I think once I got punched in the face, the first time I got punched in the face by stepping out over and out of bounds on some level, it hurt. But then I realized, okay, I see this is, I'm going to have to take some punches in order to get, you know, through into that next level. You got to take the punches in order, but I tell you, I would do it again. And I would do it again, and I would do it again, because I do feel like very much that I'm doing the right thing. And no way do I feel like I'm doing. So I just want to, again, encourage you to do what you're doing, because it is very powerful on so many levels.
That's a muscle. And I hope it's a ripple and it's a muscle. So I think a ripple in the sense that I hope it encourages others to be able to, in whatever small way they can, speak.
That's right.
And second, a muscle in the way that it builds over time. So you feel like, you know, the first time you speak, it's like, oh, it's really uncomfortable. It's sore. It hurts. You stress about it. And then it's like, oh, okay, it's a little easier. It's a little easier. And then you get to the point that you have conversations like this one and you feel like, okay, I'm not going to obsess about it for days after or weeks after, right?
That's right.
Whereas I think, you know, if you talked to me a year and a half ago, maybe that would have been a little bit different.
Oh, I actually came around and started to support J.K. Rowling, though I didn't early on. I did from afar. I was too scared. I saw the insanity. And then it just clicked to me. I'm like, what am I doing? This is not who I am. This is not my integrity. It's not how I run my life. I've always been a very outspoken person. And so I'm like, wait a minute here. I'm actually doing what they want me to do, which is to shut up. And the minute that was my first punch in my face when I went and I posted, JK is not transphobic. Oh my God. The whole community came after me like pitchforks and, you know, the fire and all that. And then I realized, no, I'm doing the right thing. And I, today, to this day, you know, I feel like I did the right thing, and that, you know, that woman got it's basically a witch hunt as far as I'm concerned, because she did not, I'll sit here and tell you that as a transsexual person, she did not say anything transphobic. She said what she needed to say as a woman. And so now all of a sudden women can't speak up for themselves. No, it doesn't work that way at all.
And I think one thing that's important is to kind of, I think it gives you a lot more confidence to speak if you know what you're, that you're have more certainty.
That's
so knowing. So for example, J.K. Rowling, like I haven't necessarily done my whole homework or research about it. So I haven't spoken too much about her, but like, but if I did and I knew and I was sure in my facts and, you know, and in my view, then it's like, I'd feel more comfortable about it.
So
I think when you're more sure, that certainty that you're right and sort of the principle of it guides you.
100%. And I went and read it. I read the whole thing and I was like, what? Wait a minute here. This isn't. And I just felt a responsibility as a transsexual person that this can't be right. This woman did not do anything bad. And this woman has given a lot in this world. She's a hugely giving person. And I just felt like I can't be part of this. I don't want to be lumped, even if I'm not, because I felt like if I don't say something, then people automatically assume I'm right. I'm on the side of the trans turfy crap when I'm not. I'm not on the side of name calling. I'll tell you that right. I'm on the side of having conversation and having opinions, but I'm not on the side. I'm not at fucking 12 and living in a sandbox. Like, are you insane? Calling people turfs and bigot and like, where? What?
Is that, what good does that do ever?
Nothing. Zero. Zero.
I also found like her, like the people who were in her movies, like the fact that they publicly went and like if anything, they shouldn't have said, you know, anything, or they could have
spoken
up for trans rights or something like that. But they didn't need to like go
they
and
didn't.
That was like, I kind of lost respect for them.
Me
regardless
too.
Of anything she said. Like,
yep.
It doesn't even matter.
Nope, yeah. Doesn't matter. And also, it doesn't even matter what she said. I think they just picked her out for some reason and just made her the sort of scapegoat, to be honest with you. So
I think they felt like if they didn't say something, mm-hmm. it just like made them look a certain way. And so it's a way of making themselves sort of the, you know, okay and supportive and the heroes. But that's a disgusting thing. Like,
gross.
There's even people that I have in my life that I lately have been very unhappy with and don't align with and don't like their opinions. And people constantly ask me to like renounce them. And I won't do that because that's a shitty thing to do.
That's like, right. You know? Yeah, I agree. No, totally. There's people in my life that I don't necessarily agree with. It's fine. Like, dude, we don't have to have the conversation. Let's talk about something else. Like, I'm not going to just disown you. I mean, if you're doing insane stuff on the internet, I will not be part of that. And I have lost some friends because of it, you know, them blaming me. They literally like post, these are my friends, and they'll post, well, Buck, it's your fault that this is happening because you're aligning yourself with the right. I'm like, I don't align with the right. What are you talking about? Like, but you know, they do stuff like that. And I'm like, that is so like not where I come from. You know, I come from a space. You got a problem with me, dude. Let's have it out. Let's talk about it. Let's figure out why. That's where I come from. And this new idea that you can just blast somebody on the internet without having a conversation is weird.
I've got some of those in my life too, but not maybe not for that much longer. But there is people who are just like, I don't know. I'm just so in disalignment with how they're behaving now that I'm like, I don't know if I want to keep them. Yeah. But I'm not going to go and publicly denounce them anyway.
That's
like
gross.
I might not be friends, but I'm not going to like.
Different.
Yeah, that's different.
Totally different.
But I think, you know, I'm definitely hoping for, you know, some changes, a better future. I think I'm seeing some moves, but I'm also seeing some pendulum swinging and some negative things as well. And it is worrying me. But I think conversations such as ours, I hope there's more of that. And I hope the center cannot hold, you know, I hope there is more of the sort of the center. When I say center, by the way, I think people kind of tend to think of center as, you know, the middle, right?
Oh, like right.
Political middle. And I don't actually think of it that way. I think of it because you can be like, you can have political views that are, you know, progressive, left. It's more about wanting to find a way to get along, you know, wanting to find a way, common ground, way forward, like being reasonable. Like that's what it's about for me when I think of center. And so I'm hoping that grows and that group of people feels more empowered.
Yeah.
But, you know, what is it that, you know, just kind of as we sign off, like, what do you wish people kind of understood about trans people?
Oh, that's a great question. Thank you. I think most importantly that we're not all the same. And just like every group of people, you know, we come to it from different backgrounds, different, you know, places, different reasons why many of us choose to do this. And to listen to one voice or just the loudest does not mean you are actually listening to trans people. I really want people out there to sort of understand the narrative that's coming from the transgender space is not the narrative that really reflects actual real trans people. It doesn't. It reflects a new movement. And I'm not a movement, nor am I an agenda, nor am I an ideology. I have a mental disorder that I fixed. And now I'm able to be participating in the world by creating my own businesses. You know, I have a family. I'm just, if you saw me down the street, you would just think, oh, that dude, you know? So that's what I want people to see, that we do this not to be on the internet talking about our transitions. We do this because we have to. We have no other choice. We've tried other ways of living and it doesn't work for us. And that what you see on the internet is not a reflection of what people who truly have gender dysphoria have, because we would never be doing what you see out there. We would be doing what we want to do, which is to live as men and women and move through the world. So that's all. I think it scares me that those are the people that are representing me. And when you give me the opportunity to speak here, I think it helps my sort of space be seen as much more diverse than the community is giving us the opportunity to sort of be on some level. So if that makes sense.
It makes absolute sense. Well, it's been such a pleasure talking to you. Thank you, so much. I really appreciate having you on, Buck.
You're awesome. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate you.
You're awesome.